Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stogies and Beer, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBET, the best. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional on quarterback. We invite all armchair quarterbacks around the world to come in and talk sports with us, bring your bold opinions with you. We our show today is overcoming the broke mentality. Again, overcoming the broke mentality as an undrafted free agent. And today's topic is teaching undrafted free agent football players that once you go undrafted, the entitlements of a high school and college player goes out the window. The athlete funding source is no longer existent after their college career is over. The athlete is expected to be accepted into the NFL system for most, that's just not reality on the first try. There are service-based companies that do evaluations and film scouting that have relationships with teams in the XFL, USFL, and fan-controlled football that can help you play at a competitive level to keep getting film versus sitting home waiting on the phone to ring. The issue with the undrafted free agent is that most of these services, especially the reliable ones, that they cost money. These companies require a service fee to get their assistance in exposing the undrafted free agent to the right football executives that can cut the check. And I want to tell everybody that's tuning in to the show, you're reading my details about our topic on the website. I apologize for a couple of mistypes. I don't know why the spell check thing doesn't work that well. But anyway, we'll get past it. I apologize for a couple of misspells. I'll double check my work the next time. Again, this is a brand new radio show. We're working out a couple of kinks here and there. Like I said, I believe week to week I'll get better. I know I'm better than I was on day one, especially with my mixing on air for my music mix. But unfortunately, I need to get an electronic mouse so I can avoid letting you hear me clicking my laptop mixing buttons. So, you know, we'll get through all that. But we're going to have a good quality product that can rival the best. They'll be able to rival First Take, The Herd, all these different type of shows on television. We'll be able to rival those shows, you know, in about a year. And definitely by next month, we're going to have a great quality product to put out on the air for you guys. But just bear with us while we're working through our kinks and while I get my sea legs back up under me, because it's been about 10, 11 years. Since I've been on air, since I done my last show, which was the Blackout Radio on Blog Talk Radio as well. Anyway, this is Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, live in the early morning on Stogies and Beer, and it is 8:08 a.m., July 14th. And again, it's 8:08 a.m. Pacific time. So, overcoming the broke mentality as an undrafted free agent. Like I said, today's topic is teaching an undrafted free agent football player that once you go undrafted, the entitlement of a high school and college player goes out the window. Okay, so let me give you an example. I hope I got some student athletes out there that's listening. I hope we got some high school parents, some parents of the high school student athlete on the line, hopefully. Hopefully we got high school student athletes on the line, and hopefully we have some college players on the line, whatever year they're in. Definitely they're in the year this year, getting ready to try to enter into the NFL draft or find an NFL camp opportunity after their last season is over. And I'm also hoping that we got some current undrafted free agents from this year's draft class that are still waiting for a camp invite to go off into the NFL camp here in the next couple weeks, whenever they start up. So we're using this platform, Stogies and Beer platform, to educate, you know, the student athlete and undrafted free agents to just teach them the mentality that they need to have if they wind up becoming a free agent. Mind you, the best way to avoid becoming an undrafted free agent is, first of all, not to go undrafted in the first place. We go back to a couple key points. In high school, as a high school sophomore, you really, I'm going to say freshman and sophomore, you need to be preparing yourself to go off into the NCAA eligibility center. You know, you need to be making sure that your NCAA eligibility is the clearinghouse. Make sure your clearinghouse business is already set. Make sure you're staying close to a 3.0, I would say, or better as much as you can. Try not to let your grade point average fall below a 3.0. The higher you can get to a 4.0, that's even better. Constantly be preparing for your ACTs, SATs, and if you're trying to go into like a military type of program, make sure your ASVAB is up to score. I think even if you're going to go attend the military college in West Point, the Air Force Academy in Colorado, Naval Academy in Annapolis, I think you need to still have a high ASVAB score. I think those guys, officer candidates, are still required to take the ASVAB. If not, whatever requirements that you need to be doing, do it. If you're trying to in the military Division I program. Now, with that being said, I'm bringing this topic up about the broke mentality as an undrafted free agent. It's because I always talk to a lot of players right now, current players don't want to use certain services that are out there that can help them get exposure. I try to avoid a guy sitting on the couch and just kind of like moseying along saying that the phone is going to ring. I don't want guys that I know that went undrafted and you're still waiting to get an NFL invite to go to camp because the draft is over with. So the only thing you can do is sign a free agent contract to go into camp with it with the NFL franchise. I don't want guys sitting on the couch just basically saying, hey, you know, I'm just wait it out. I'm good enough to go. I'm going to just wait. Or my agent told me don't do nothing, just wait for the phone to ring. Or my parents told me don't do nothing, just wait. I'm telling you, I ain't saying it won't work, but in most cases, since I've been doing this, it doesn't work. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that if I call you and I tell you, hey, man, I got a guy, I got people in certain places that do evaluations. You may have to do an evaluation. Let's say, for instance, they got a pro tryout. You have different companies do tryouts to where a guy can come in and pay $100 or whatever. No, they don't pay for them to come out there. You got to fly to the pay your $100 fee and get out there and try out with the rest of the 100 people that show up. The way I take your tryout and turn it into a workout to make it more personal, I usually know the person that's running the camp, that's running the evaluation camp that I'm sending you to. The way I tell people is you walk up to that person that I give you a name, you walk up to that person and you shake their hand, tell them that I sent you, and usually they're going to tell you, yeah, I know Romero and he told me about you because I've already sent your film. I've already sent your resume. I've already sent your photos. So I already have them familiar with who you are. I've already had a couple conversations about you coming out there. So all you got to do is go up there and shake my contact's hand that's part of the event, shake their hand and say, Romero friend at me. And then now instead of you trying out with the other 100 people out there, you're that one out of 100 that my contact is actually watching, actually studying, actually have detailed notes. So when I call him a couple of days later or right after the camp in some cases, I say, how did so-and-so do? And he'll say, hey, man, that's a dog, man. He looked really good. And on occasion, they might tell me, he looks a little slow, sluggish, a little lumbery. Looks like he needs to lose a little weight, get in a little bit better shape. I see something there. Maybe he needs to come out and do it again in a couple months. And if that's the case, that's the case. I have to take these professional scouts and evaluators' advice as well. I can't, you know, I have to get out my own way sometimes because I believe in guys so much, believe. And a lot of times it's like you probably just not ready. I've had guys go to different camps on my recommendation and the relationship that I've had with pro developmental coaches, like coaches from the Indoor Football League, National Arena League, and below. These are your film league. They you do get a check, but I call these film leagues because the ultimate goal is to get film to try to get to the XFL and the USFL level, right? The highest level of some of these film leagues is the fan-controlled football, which is pretty much like now what Arena One used to be, the AFL before they went off TV, you know, the old AFL, the one that Kurt Warner came from. The fan-controlled football league is pretty much rivaling that. They got a national TV partner in NBC. I mean, they had a great online presence with DAZN, DAZN, whatever you call it, Spectrum, Fubo, Twitch. And plus, like I said, you sit back and watch it on your actual TV at home on NBCLX. So, I mean, it was a great they've had two great years doing this. But this year they had the TV partner, so it made it that much better. Plus, all the stars were down there, Pullman Yards in Georgia. All the stars, I'm talking about all the NFL stars, the NBA stars. Well, I ain't going to say all of them. I'm going to say a lot of NFL and NBA stars were down there in Georgia hanging out at Pullman Yards with fan-controlled football. I mean, you know, most of my guys were there. They was like running into T.O., Johnny Manziel, running into Marshawn Lynch, running into Antonio Brown, Dwight Howard, Renee Montgomery. You know, all these different people, even Austin Eckler owns the team. Austin Eckler for the Chargers, he owns the team. Renee Montgomery owns the team. Marshawn Lynch, I think he owns the team. So, I mean, it's an exciting time down there. You know, my guys are getting a lot of exposure. But going back to the topic, for those of you just tuning in, Overcoming the broke mentality as an undrafted free agent is my topic for today. And the call 515-602-9687. Welcome to Stogies and Beer. This is your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the morning in Chula Vista, California on WBEST. The time on deck is 8:16 a.m. Again, today's topic is undrafted free football player that once you go undrafted, the entitlements of a high school or college player goes out the window. Going back into what we're talking about is basically that picking up where I left off before I started playing hand control football. Picking up back where I left off was that I seen you to these film leagues like the NAL, National Arena League, IFL, Indoor Football League. I seen you to these teams, and then sometimes they'll bring you into camp, and then a lot of guys may not make it. They'll say, hey, man, we had to cut it. Some guys get cut. I'll put it like that. Some guys make it. Some guys get cut. It just depending on where you are and what those pro scouts look for. Sometimes, you know, I might befriend a young man and really want to be pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. And they may just not be at that level yet. I might have to drop them down a couple more levels, like down to maybe the American West Football Conference or maybe the Champions Indoor Football League or maybe the, well, I don't want the Champions Indoor Football League. I'll say maybe the American Arena League, drop them down to the American West Football Conference and drop them down to like the new AFA, Arena Football Association, to kind of like move them up step by step. So I kind of like rank arena football like Arena 1, Arena 2, Arena 3, Arena 4. Arena 4 is more like brand new leagues and independent leagues. The top of the cream of the crop is what I was mentioning at first, like National Arena League, Indoor Football League, and you got to be able to play. Sometimes, you know, I'll send a guy out there and they just tell me, hey, he just couldn't get it. Couldn't get his playbook. He couldn't get it. And a lot of guys be thinking, well, I was good in college. Yeah, you were good in college, but you're still dealing with professional football, professional scouts, high-level coaching. And so you may not be ready to even play at that level. However, the point of the story that we're talking about is overcoming the broken mentality as an undrafted free agent is this. If I know contacts that can get you in and evaluate you for $100, $300, or even like if it's like at Hub Camp. If you follow Hub on Twitter, that's capital H-U-B on Twitter. That's a program ran by Tom Brady's agent, Don Yee. It's a free agent OTA style workout, but it costs $700 to get in. It's not a cheap camp, but you got to understand whose name is on it, Don Yee. That's Tom Brady's agent, the greatest football player of all time. Well, some consider him to be the greatest football player of all time, but, you know, this stuff is opinionated. But I know he's the greatest quarterback of all time based on his accomplishments. So, you know, it costs about, for an exclusive package with them, you're looking at $1,300, $1,400 on an exclusive package for a full scout report from Draft Bible, Sports Illustrated, as well, and stuff like that. And then, you know, you get your film, your interview, and then the scouts can do a live look-in. They don't even have to be at the event. They can do a live look-in now to see you working out in this OTA-style, NFL-style workout. And people do get opportunities out of these camps. But you can't come to me because first of all, it's hard to get selected to go to Hub. Let's start there. It's hard to get selected to go to Hub. So if I can get you in by my relationship with the people that run it, I have a good relationship with the people that run it. And they usually help me by bringing my players in and giving them an opportunity to work out against talent from all over the place at all levels of football. Guys that got cut from NFL camp, guys that got cut from CFL camp, and you'll be out there working out against these guys. Guys that play Division I football, Power 5 Division I football, you'll be playing it. You'll be competing against these guys in this OTA-style evaluation camp. But when I tell you that it's going to cost you a plane ticket to get there, a hotel room to get there, your meals to get there, the fee to even be a part of it, you have to be ready to pay that. So that means if you're undrafted free agent sitting at home, how do you pay that? Get out. If you can't get a job or earn any income, well, let's say, I'm not going to say you get a job because everybody don't have to get a job. You can get a situation where you can go off into network marketing where you can be your own boss and make sales and this, that, and that. I got about four people in my network that do that. So if you need to earn money and learn how to make independent money, I can put you in a position to do that. Or like I said, you can just go and use your degree or whatever education that you have from school, technical education or whatever, and go get a job. Because you need a job to be able to take advantage of most of the opportunities that are going to come your way as an undrafted free agent. I'm going to use me for example. If you come to me first, I'm going to tell you that to get on my list that I distribute out to all kind of executives in the sports community, to get on my list to be considered for whatever sport you play in, it's $100. That's just for to get on my list for me to send your film, for me to press send and put your stuff on somebody's desk that can make a difference in your life. It's going to be $100. With that being said, from that point, you know, it's up to you to make the decision whether you want to pay the $100. But I kind of like look at some of you guys kind of like, when you tell me you can pay $100, you can't find a way to get five $20 bills to take advantage of an opportunity that's going to get you at least about $2,000 to $3,000 back on your return on investment. I wonder if you really want to play. The free agent attitude is, oh, well, I never had to, I thought agents don't make money. Well, that's why I quit using the term agent for what I do. I use the term sports manager because you guys don't understand. It's different kind of agents. You got insurance agents like my man DC that's going to be coming on the line later. He's an insurance agent. That's an agent. You got sports agents. You got you got all kind of different people that can have the title agent attached to their name. But the difference is this. The NFLPA agents that are certified with the NFL Players Association, which is a union, they have to adhere to certain rules of the NFL and the NFL Players Association, as it refers to NFL athletes or NFL employees. They have to basically pay for your pro day training after your college career is over with. They have to pay for your pro day training, your meals, your housing, and guess what? They can't recoup any of that unless you make a 53-man roster. They can only get 3%, 1% to 3% of your income. And from what I'm learning now, they don't even cash in on that till about 36 months into your playing career. I don't do that. I'm an independent sports agent because I don't want anyone regulating how me and my clients determine my salary. So I use the term professional sports career manager. My company Best, that's BEST, Best Sports Career Management and Advisor Service. So basically I'll take you off the couch and put you in the game for anywhere from $100 to $600. And in either case, anyone who's ever paid me zero, $100, $300, $600, they've made their money back. That's a fact. Anytime you invest with me, I put you in a position to make your money back. And I'm going to say that's happened for everybody that has got a contract, because if you got a contract and you paid me, I put you in a position of where you was able to make that money back. The point that I'm making for the undrafted free agents is you can't come to me and people like myself that has a service that has took time to build their company up to have opportunities for undrafted free agents to still get a chance to work their way toward the NFL. And I think these services are good because most of you guys at least make it to high-level arena like the Fan Control League, the United States Football League, and the XFL. You still make it to a high level to a league that has a television partner. And that's the whole goal for people like myself, is to get you to a league that has a TV partner, because if they have a TV partner, you're being exposed on national television. But you can't be talking about when somebody come to you with an opportunity and say, hey, man, my service costs $700, or my service costs $300, or my service costs $600, or my service costs $100. You can't come to them saying that, why do I got to pay you? If I'm good enough, why you just can't put my stuff on the table? well, no one even said that you're good enough in the first place. What they're saying is that I'll put you into my system and let the powers that be us collectively determine if you're good enough. But the first thing to even get to that point to for us to even determine that, it costs a certain fee because nobody's going to be sitting up watching all this film, 8 hours worth of film, you know, because people watch full games. They got to watch highlights. They got to find out what, because a highlight is telling you what you can do good. The full game tells you what you do wrong. That's what scouts do. They can just watch film, film, film all day. And people have to get paid to do that. Then they have to write up a scouting report. That's why some of the stuff I don't do. I just tell you, pay me $100 and I'm gonna put you on my list that I send out, or pay me $600 for me to manage you. But when you go to the next step, somebody might have a fee for to do a write up or whatever the case may be. It just depends on where I send you and who bites first. But you might pay me a fee. You might have to pay the next person a fee. But understand, that's, as an undrafted free agent, paying money is a fact because you need people help, and people are not going to just be helping you for free. People, the days that you saying, "Hey man, I'm good. Just pay, help me out, give me what I need to go on." You can get paid on the back end. That's not how business works. That's not how business works. I used to deal with that in the music business all the time, where guys would be like, "Hey man, manage me," and I can't pay you nothing on a monthly basis, but what I can do is pay you when I make. So what I'm supposed to do, sit back here and do all this work, and then once you make it, you finally go sign on with another producer, another record label, and then all the work I done put into it, I ain't got paid? No, I don't do that. I get paid monthly, or I get paid my one-time fee, and then when we get another contract, we'll come back to the table. But all that getting, you know, people believing in you after you get out of college, free agents, remember, after you get out of college, the free ride is over. You're not at home as a high school student where your mom and dad is responsible for you anymore, to where basically mom and dad are responsible for you in high school. Then you go to college, they still half responsible for you because they're trying to monitor you all the time to make sure that the money they're paying for your college or that they done signed off on for some of your college education, they want to make sure you're doing good by that. Or if you got a scholarship, they want to make sure that you're honoring your scholarship so you can stay in school and keep playing ball to get to the next level, which is the NFL. So it's always somebody that's somewhat responsible for you. The college system is responsible for you. They're watching you to make sure that you don't do any violations against their code of conduct and all this different stuff and their compliance rules. It's always somebody responsible for you at that level. You get fed. You're getting housed. You're doing all this different stuff that you don't have to pay for in college because you're part of the team. You're already part of a system that has a budget. But what happens when you graduate and then you go undrafted? You're like, oh, well, nobody picked me up, so what am I supposed to do? You're doing the right thing by contacting somebody like me that has a service, that's a proven service that can help you get film. So if somebody tell you, hey, it's going to cost this much for me to help, but these are my contacts. This is my track record. This is my reputation. These are my testimonials. But it's going to cost you this much. Don't come back to the person and say, hey, well, I'm good enough, man. Why I got to pay money? I thought you were supposed to pay for my training and this and that. The pro day stuff is over with after the draft. When the combine hits and draft day starts, that pro day stuff and paying for your training, that's over. You know, now I have so many undrafted free agents come to me and tell me, hey, man, is it possible that you can pay for me to get a trainer to get my 40 time up and get my bench press up and get my reps up? And my question is always like, why are we doing that now when you've been playing football since you was 5 years old? I mean, you've been playing football from 5 to 23. And your route still needs to be sharpened? Come on, man. Stop it. All right. This is Stogies and Bitches. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. The guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. Again, the guest call-in line is 515-602-9687. And the time on deck is 8:31 a.m. We're going to go off into a little bit of music here. Off into my mix by Keith Klizark, CEO, producer, platinum producer with Team Match and Sound Design. And this is going to be Dr. Strange. Dr. Strange by Keith Klizark, platinum producer, Team Match and Sound Design. Back to the show. This is Romero Fred, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, with Stogies and Beer. Stogies and Beer is the official outlet, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterbacks. All the armchair quarterbacks that we call in and talk about our topics that's coming over the monitor today. We got stuff like, you know, we got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up. We got home run coming up on Monday. I'm here in San Diego. We got two selections. I think that's Manny Machado, if I'm correct, and Joe Musgrove, if I'm correct. Musgrove is a native of, I believe, El Cajon, California. I believe he went to Grossmont High School, and he pitched a no-no last year. So that's good that we got him in the All-Star game. If you want to call in and talk about your All-Stars that's going into the Major League All-Star game, armchair quarterbacks, yeah, call in and let us know who on your team that's going to be representing your team in the All-Star game this year for Major League Baseball. This is a football talk show, but we talk all things sports, football, basketball, baseball, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, any other sport that you want to call in and talk about that we don't normally cover. Definitely listen to what you have to say about your sport and banter on about that. If we got questions about it, if we're not familiar with your sport, you can teach us. If you're not familiar with the sport that we're talking about, which is mainly football, basketball, and baseball, but mainly football. If you're not familiar with football or any of the other two major sports, then we can educate you. This is a learning system for everybody. We learn from you. You learn from us. We banter. We talk. We joke. We have bold opinions. But this morning I was watching some stuff about a man. He comes on him. I ask him. They was talking about the New York Knicks acquiring Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. Well, the question I have is, what do the Knicks have to give up to get Donovan Mitchell? What they going to do? Let go RJ Barrett, send him over there? But my man DC, who's a Knicks fan, a diehard Knicks fan, they don't need any bigs. They need guards. So yeah, Donovan Mitchell is a shooting guard, if I'm correct, point guard, shooting guard, whatever, you know, combo guard. But at the same time, they would probably have to let go somebody like RJ Barrett to go to the Utah Jazz. But DC was letting me know that RJ Barrett is their Paul Pierce today. So I'm just like, I don't know how it's all going to work, but I'd love to get his take on it. Then we also got, you know, Chet Holmgren with the Oklahoma City Thunder Summer League. He's, you know, they're saying that he's struggling again. You know, he only scored 8 points last night. I'm like, good God, get a kid a break. It's summer league. Get a kid a break. Once he gets in the actual building with the Oklahoma City Thunder for camp, I'm quite sure they're going to get him stronger, get him worked up, work out all the kinks. But right now they're identifying what he needs to work on. They're identifying what he needs to work on against a bunch of players that's getting ready to go to the to the basketball tournament. All those guys that are out there playing, most of those guys are going to be playing in TBT, which I love TBT because it gives the undrafted free agents a official look on TV. They have a television partner with ESPN to get them a look. So I mean that's a good platform for those guys, you know, and hopefully some of those guys get picked up on some NFL rosters or at least some G League teams. But Chet Holmgren, I mean, get a kid a break. He just came out of the playoffs. I believe Gonzaga was in the national championship. They didn't win. If they wasn't in the national championship, I pretty much remember them being in a Final Four, you know. But this is a high-level athlete. The kid's going to get older. He's going to get stronger. He's going to start filling out. His frame is going to fill out. He's going to be strong. I mean, I see him being at least like a somewhat like a Kevin Durant, Dirk Nowitzki type of player. Probably not as sharp a shooter as both of those guys, but, you know, he'll develop his shot. And he's going to be a solid guy. Get a guy a break, you know. But, you know, I think the guy for Orlando, Banchero, they sat him down already. And I think Holmgren played them yesterday. And Banchero wasn't there. But I think Holmgren had 16 points. I would have liked to see him go up against Banchero, you know. I would have liked to see that matchup. But they sat Banchero down. So I'm like, you know, is it even good to even have Chet still out there? Sit Chet Holmgren down. Sit him down. You know, like they sat Zion Williamson down a couple of years ago when they was on the Summer League in Vegas. They sat him down. So I don't even think it's a great thing to even have Chet out there for too many more games because, I mean, all he's going to do is keep getting criticism, criticizing. I'd rather take my criticism with NBA players, not with guys that's going to the G League or guys that's going to be playing in the TBT, trying to make their way to a contract, which is Chet has already got a contract. He's guaranteed money. So anyway, we're gonna go back up into some more music. Got over the wire today, you know, also Tiger Woods, you know, his comments about the LIV tournament yesterday, saying that, you know, he don't think that these PGA golfers should be dealing with the LIV tournament. Because it's making them soft. They're not getting it out the mud like in the PGA where you gotta prepare. You don't just get a check to appear. And, well, no matter what you do a LIV tournament, my understanding is you're going to get a check. So I guess Tiger is saying, you know, it needs to be to a point to where you have something to train for. So, I mean, I get what Tiger is saying, but at the same time, Tiger's a billionaire and everybody ain't Tiger Woods. Okay, well, said, this is Stogies and Beer, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST. The time is 8:39 a.m. We're going to go off into some music by platinum producer Keith Clizart, and this track is going to be called Batman. Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning from Chula Vista, California, on WBEST, WBEST. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional quarterback to call in and boast his bold opinions about sports, all things sports all the time. We cover anything sports-related, dog racing, camel racing, NASCAR, NASCAR Truck Series, water polo, badminton, whatever sport you like, you can call in and talk to us about it. If we don't know about it or have an opinion about it, you educate us on it so we can form an opinion about it. This is mainly a football talk show that does cover Major League Baseball and in National Basketball Association. We care everything about football from the XFL, USFL, fan control football, and below. Any other arena, any of the arena and indoor league teams, local teams, we cover all that stuff. So this is a football talk show. But again, we do talk about the big three major sports in the United States and some hockey. Going back to our topic today, overcoming the mentality as an undrafted free agent. Again, my biggest thing is trying to relate to any of the athletes that just years draft class that are still looking for an NFL camp invite because you didn't get drafted and because you wasn't on the draft board in the first place. I'm trying to educate you on a lot of different services out there that can help you still get to the to get film, starting in the film leagues, like I like to just starting in pro developmental football, which all pro developmental football are film leagues. So we're talking about, and when I say only film leagues, these are the ones without a TV partner. So the IFL, that's high-level film league, NAL, high-level film league, and then you got all the levels below that. But these leagues don't have a TV partner. The leagues with the TV partners are Fan Control Football. They have a TV partner that's arena-style indoor football, but they have a television partner and an online partner, multiple online platforms. The USFL, obviously, we already know they have NBC and Fox as a TV partner. The XFL, they're going to have NBC and Fox as a TV partner as well. So, and all of these, you know, you can find all those teams as well online. So when it all comes down to it, you know, I have different companies that can help get you on the field, keep attaining film, keep moving up as close to the NFL as possible. Some of you will make it to the NFL. Some of you won't. It just depends on what company that you're going to be using and what services they have to offer. Again, for somebody like me who charges from $100, $300 to $600, I frown upon a free agent that comes to me and they have the broke mentality of saying that, well, I had that kind of money and why I gotta pay that when I got talent. You know, I thought you were supposed to take care of all my expenses and this and that. No, you don't get that as an undrafted free agent. You get that as a coming out of a college, depending on what college you come out of. If you're dealing with an NFL certified agent, he has to pay that stuff. But most of the services and people that I deal with in my network that I can refer you to, we all have service fees because we're scouting tape, evaluating players, talking to players, coaching them up mentally. We do all kinds of stuff, and this stuff costs money. I see my man DC is finally on the line. We're going to be bringing him on in a couple seconds here once I get done bantering about what I'm bantering about. But, yeah, my biggest thing is getting on here today trying to teach the undrafted free agent. Again, look at services that someone may have to offer and say, hey, I ain't got that kind of money. Like one guy told me, and he said, hey, I need some help. Here my film, here my this. I say, yeah, I can help you out, man, but it costs $600 for my management services. And he texted me back and he said, really angry, like the way I read the text was he sounded just like this. I ain't got that kind of money to be just throwing. I ain't got that kind of money to just be given out. And I'm like, to just be given out. So my attitude was, I ain't say it back to him. I just deleted the message. In my mind, I'm like, I ain't got that kind of time to just be throwing out. I ain't got that kind of time to just be giving away. You know, I don't have, you know, and that's the attitude that most undrafted free agents have. I've dealt with this multiple times over the years that I've been doing this. And I'm telling you guys, once you become undrafted, as a grown man and as a former college athlete, mom and dad ain't responsible for you. Your coaches ain't responsible for you. The college ain't responsible for you. You're an undrafted free agent. That means you are an unwanted commodity for whatever reason. And we're trying to help you become a wanted commodity. We're trying to help you become a demand product because right now you're not a demand product. That's why you're paying to become a demand product and not being paid as a demand product, like if you were on an NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball team right now. Now we got my man DC on the line. DC, I'm coming to you. We're going to start off here. We're going to start here when I come to you. Talk a little bit about this thing that came with a wire this morning with the NBA. The New York Knicks is talking about getting Donovan Mitchell. When you did say y'all needed a guard, so I guess he is a hell of a combination guard, as they call him these days. I guess he can you know, shoot and dish the ball. I think he has some courses on defense, but you know, he's a solid guard. Definitely a guy that can get y'all 50 points when he wants to, anytime he wants to, 40, 50 points high, when he takes over a game. But you'd have to let go R.J. Barrett to even acquire his services, because you guys have nothing else left to give to the Utah Jazz. You get a bunch of draft picks, which I think they might, and maybe they'll just rebuild from y'all draft picks. I don't know. But anyway, what say you? What say you, D.C.? We're gonna let you talk. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, D.C.
Well, thank you for that. First off, I actually think we have a really big trade chip to get to give up for Donovan Mitchell, and that's Julius Randle. Julius Randle, number one draft pick out of Kentucky. Remember, he broke his leg in his first game when he played for the Lakers. He was most improved player a couple of years ago. He's a 20-10-5 guy, and his salary probably matches up to Donovan Mitchell in a trade. I also think the Knicks have they have 11 first round picks over the next 8 years available. So they could, in theory, trade for him without giving up R.J. Barrett. I don't think that I am a diehard Knicks fan, but I don't think they should get Donovan Mitchell. I don't think he's that much of a difference maker. I think you sold out to get Jalen Brunson, and the Knicks were weak at the point guard position. You now have a solid starting NBA point guard. And so I think you should just go with that, see how all your pieces fit. They have Cam Reddish that came out of Duke the same year as R.J. Barrett, and he's yet to really get consistent minutes at any team, whether it was Atlanta or New York, before he got injured. So let's see what you got with what you drafted. You drafted solid. You got young players. The argument last season was Tom Thibodeau didn't want to play his younger players. He kept playing Taj Gibson and Alec Burks and some of the seasoned veterans. Well, now management made it so that he can't play those guys because they're not there, right? They waived Taj Gibson and they traded Burks and Nerlens Noel. So now, you know, Thibodeau has no choice but to play the younger players because that's all they got on his team. So I think that's what they should do. You're right. They are in the Donovan Mitchell sweepstakes, and they have been for a while. I still think they should get him. I think Donovan Mitchell is, you know, is he electric? Yeah, but he's 6'1", and he lives off of athleticism. And you and I know that athleticism dies as you get older. And then most of your listeners know. you know, when you were 25, you could ball. You know, now, you know, that jump is a little flat, right?
Yeah, I remember back in the day when I used to have my runner, and I used to, you know, be wearing you out back on the court, you know, breaking you down with that runner. You know, I can't get up like that no more. I can't get up like that no more, man.
Exactly, right? So you know, a guy that has a great athleticism. I'm not gonna argue. He has awesome athleticism, and he's a nice guy. I've actually seen a few NBA. Programs where they talked about how he has a foundation in Utah and he really works with the community, and all that's great. I just don't think that he's going to be worth it. I've seen the rumored trade scenarios of 3 draft picks, Fournier, Barrett, Obi Toppin, like all of these people for one guy. I don't see it. He's not Kobe. you know, he's not Jordan. So I don't see it. I don't see the giving up too much for a guy. You know, but back on your topic, I heard you talking about it. You know, I totally agree. You know, there's only 1,696 players in the NFL, right? Each team has a 53-man roster, and there's 32 teams. That if you multiply that, that comes out to 1,696,
right?
And that's not a lot. So, you know, you're fighting to get on a team that doesn't even have 2,000 people. There's not even 2,000 people in our country that plays football pro on the highest level. So, it's hard to get there. You have to have incredible skills, some luck, right? And you're right. If you have to pay for a service to get you noticed, then that's what you got to do. You know, one of the things that I have always told younger athletes that I've run into is, hey, man, listen, it doesn't matter what school you go to. Just get on the field. If you can truly dominate, they will see you, right? If you're not on the field, they're not going to see you, so they don't know your skill set. You know, I remember John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Ravens. He was talking one day, and he said, you know, I'm not really a fan of the NFL combine. He said, because those are guys that are just in shorts and T-shirt. He said, you know,
yeah,
everybody looks good in shorts and T-shirt, right? You take the shirt off, and their muscles popping everywhere. Everybody looks great. But what happens when you put them in pads and somebody's hitting them?
Right.
You know, pushing back on them. And so, you know, a lot of these guys don't understand. It's really tough to get there. You know, a lot of these guys, they work their whole life to get 3 years in the league. And, you know, if you think about it, how many guys come and go in the NFL? You know, how many guys get in the league, do well, and then the league passes them by, right? They get injured, and then they're out.
The NFL, they work out people. But people don't understand when they're off on TV. When players don't understand that ain't major players. When you're off on TV, relaxing with the family, the NFL is bringing somebody in to work them out to see who can we cut. Who can we lighten the load if we bring somebody else in that we can sign for cheaper?
Yep. So you have to you know, develop your talent. Thing is, a lot of young players don't think about is your position you play. What I mean by that is there's a ton of wide receivers. There's a ton of running backs. There's a ton of quarterbacks, DBs, right? Maybe you need to shift to a position that's not as, quote, sexy that might get you in the lead. You know, things like safety. Kick returner, kicker, place kicker, right? Can you kick? Work on your kick game, right? You know, there's a lot of positions that if you do it very, very well, you can get an elite. Punching.
That's what Marquette King did. He messed around and was a DB. Then he said, I'm going to kick the ball. He got into the NFL kicking the ball.
Yeah. You know, if your goal is to get in the league, then make that your goal, right? If your goal is to be Ray Lewis, but you barely got on the field with your team that you play for, it's probably not going to happen.
Then you ain't Ray Lewis.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so being a great athlete is one thing, but – because there's a lot of people that are more athletic than, I'll use Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of people that are more athletic than Lamar Jackson that are not in the NFL. But do you have the arm that Lamar Jackson has? And he may not have the accuracy, but he has the arm, right? No question this guy has an arm.
Speaking of which, let me segue here. What's the thing about Pollard going in on Twitter on Lamar Jackson, basically kind of like pointing out his flaws And you know that you know it's being said that a lot of wide receivers, including Hollywood Brown, that just left, saying that offense is set up behind the run game. It's a running offense. It's the run pass option offense with Lamar Jackson at the head of everything. And if you're a wide receiver, you just out there as a decoy. What do you think? What is Jackson going to do? Is he going to get it, this quarterback thing right, or is he going to just, you know, keep being a keep being a deterrent for wide receivers that may want to come to Baltimore, but they're like, well, if y'all not going to change the offense up and build a passing game, I don't want to come there.
Right. Now I'm glad you asked me that question, because this has always been my criticism of the Ravens offense with Lamar Jackson at the quarterback. I applaud them for playing to his strengths, right? You know that he is an option-style quarterback. You know that he's an incredible athlete and that he can make a 5-yard play an 85-yard touchdown run, right? You know that. And so that's smart coaching to play behind your player's strengths. However, they get predictable, and so that's where they struggle. They struggle in their predictability because you almost know that this is going to be a run-pass option, and the pass is going to be a relatively small pass. And so, yes, I could understand Bernard Pollitt's argument. However, I thought his comments were misplaced. I didn't think his comments should be towards Lamar Jackson. I think his comments should have been more towards the coaching staff, because Lamar Jackson doesn't call the plays. He just runs the plays that's called in. And so if you're the offensive coordinator and you see that there's 10 guys in the box expecting a run pass option play, then you throw the football, right? And so that's on coaching to say, hey, let's throw the ball more, because whenever the Ravens throw the ball more, Lamar Jackson excels, right? He has those 5 touchdown games, 4 touchdown games. Let me chew up Green Bay a couple of times, right? But then again, the game against Miami, he got exposed because they just went cover zero and guarded against the run pass option, and he couldn't get the ball out, right? And so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, as a coaching staff, that's on you. That's on you. If you know that, you know, you got all these assistant coaches and you got all these headphones and microphones and scout teams and footage and films and all these people in the booth watching the play, well, what are you looking at, right? If you see the defense,
Lamar Jackson,
throw the ball.
Lamar Jackson also has the opportunity to change the play. I mean, he got this big playbook on his head that all he got to do is just change the play.
Agreed. But in my one defense of Lamar Jackson, because I don't have very many, but in my one defense of Lamar Jackson, sometimes you can get caught up in the heat of the game and not necessarily pay attention to what the defense is doing to you, and that's what the coaches are there for, right? I mean, and that's in every sport, right? Like, even in basketball, you may not notice that every time you pass the ball to a certain player that they're doubling or they're switching defensively. It's a coach's job to say, hey, next time you make that pass, whipping around the other end of the court, and there's a guy wide open, right, for the jump shot, right?
Is it a possibility that Lamar Jackson can't read defense?
No, I don't think that's possible, only because it would have came out in college or his first couple of years in the pros that he is incapable of reading defense. It would have came out. I don't think he would have been MVP and had the success he had if he was incapable of reading defense.
But remember when Donovan McNabb was in the league, there was a knock on him. Donovan McNabb came in. Got all the intent, but he can't read. That was a knock I was hearing.
Right.
Like, so.
McNabb also did not have the arm of Lamar Jackson either. I didn't say Eminem couldn't throw the rock. I didn't say he couldn't throw the rock, because you're not going to be an NFL quarterback if you cannot throw the rock. But he had an arm Lamar Jackson. I also thought Donovan McNabb wasn't as fast. He was, you know, he was just as agile as Lamar Jackson, but he definitely didn't have his speed. And, you know, McNabb's, you know, claim to fame was he was a little bigger and stronger, so he could kind of push some people off of him and then take advantage of the broken play. You know, and of course, when he got a wide receiver, they took off, right? That year, the Eagles crushed it. I mean, they crushed everybody that year.
I mean,
including the Ravens. They played the Ravens that year. They crushed the Ravens in that game when T.O. did the Ray Lewis dance in the end zone and all that, right? So they definitely he proved once he got a wide receiver, he could do it. But then he also proved he wasn't clutch either.
Let me segue here to NBA again. Let's look at what if KD goes to the LA Lakers. KD, Anthony Davis, what they do? Move LeBron to maybe Brooklyn. So then you got Westbrook at the guard. Then you got KD, and then you got AD. How does that look for a championship playoff run? How does it look?
It looks like a seventh seed in the West, if you ask me. I see a playing game in their future, and the reason why is because Westbrook is not a very good point guard. Westbrook is an example of a great athlete, right? I mean, the ton of shots that Westbrook misses is laughable, right? I mean, people call him West Brick, right? Because his jump shot is horrible. It's his athleticism that took him this far. And so I don't see him being the leader of that team to take them anywhere. And KD and Davis, Davis can't stay healthy. You know, all the talent in the world, you could argue he's a little on the soft end, but today's NBA, the rules are different. But he's just incredibly injury prone. And so I see it, even if KD went there, they wouldn't have enough pieces to do anything with. Also, I think with the KD and Westbrook issue from Oklahoma City, I don't think that would be a great locker room. The Lakers would have to give up too many pieces.
Let's get rid of Westbrook then. They got Scottie Pippen Jr. on here. Pippen Jr. So get Westbrook out. We got Pippen Jr. out with KD and AD. How does that look?
A seventh seed in the West. And I go back to the same perspective, because the West is tough. I mean, Memphis, Phoenix, the Clippers. The Clippers made some moves in the offseason that make them look like a championship team.
That team couldn't get the Nuggets out of that. You're telling me that team that I just gave you couldn't get the Nuggets out of their way to move up to a higher seed? Something like that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Clippers have made some good moves, and you know they drafted some folks. I think the Clippers are going to be. The Nuggets too. I think they're a solid team. I don't think that you're gonna. The West is so strong that and Davis is so injury prone. KD is an instant. I mean, KD is a walking 40 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists guy almost every night. But that's it, right? Like, I mean, I just don't see in the Western Conference. where they're going to be able to take it by storm and seriously compete for a title. I mean, just Phoenix, the Clippers look great. The Nuggets look solid. I mean, they just signed KCP to a 2-year deal. I they're solid, man.
Yeah, Clippers. You're speaking of the Clippers, right?
Denver Nuggets just signed Kentavious Caldwell Pope to a 2-year deal.
Jamal Murray's coming back off that Achilles injury, right?
Right. So they're solid. I mean, and then what about Portland? What about Portland when you get Damian Lillard back, and then you know he was injured almost all of last year. They made some moves, right? You know the Pelicans. If you got
that's going to be a formidable.
Talk about the West, right? You got the Clippers, Clippers, the Golden State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns. That's three playoff teams right there, guaranteed, right? Then you're talking about Portland, the Nuggets. That's two more teams, right? Then you're talking about Memphis, Dallas, and the Pelicans, right?
Yep.
That's another three teams. That's eight teams right there, right? That's eight teams right there, right? So now you're saying you're throwing in the Lakers. You're throwing in the Kings, who you never know. A draft pick or two might turn them around. They might have a surprising season. The Timberwolves, right? They might turn around, right? So, you know, the Jazz, let's say the Jazz don't get rid of Donovan Mitchell. They just traded Rudy Gobert for all those draft picks and a couple of players. You know, you're talking about the Lakers being a play-in team, right? You're saying eight teams in the regular playoffs, two play-in games, 10 teams total. So now you're saying they're definitely one of the 10. They're definitely a play-in team at a minimum. But in their best, you're saying the seventh seed because you can't put them better than some of these other teams, right? You can't put them better than Dallas.
You got to help them.
Yeah, you can't put them better than Dallas. You can't. If you got a healthy Zion Williamson, you could argue you can't put them ahead of the Pelicans. Right, you know, Golden State's gonna be balling again. Phoenix, the Clippers, man, it's crazy. Right, I mean, the West is just tough. Right, you could win 45 games in the West out of an 82 game season, and still just be in the play-in game. Whereas in the East, 45 wins might get you the seventh seed or the fifth seed. Right, like you know. That's the difference in the conferences. And then LeBron, even if LeBron stays, I mean, you know, Father Time is catching up to LeBron, man. I mean, look at how many games he's been sitting out now and how many injuries he's had over the last several years.
He's a player that can do whatever the hell he want to do when he want to do. But that's the other thing about him. He can whenever he just feel like he want to do something, he just go and do it.
I agree, but Father Time is undefeated, right? Father Time catches up with everybody. And so I just don't see at 38 years old, 38, this season that starts, LeBron is going to be 38 years old. 38. Yeah, 38. Now think about this. In 2000, let's go back to 2017. When he played for Cleveland, LeBron played all 82 games. That's the last time he played all 82 games in 2017. 2018, he played 55 games. 2019, he played 67 games. 2020, only 45 games because he got injured. Remember that groin injury or whatever it was? And then, and then 2021 season, he only played 56 games. So, and remember, he's sitting days out for rest now, right? Because he can't do it. Father Time is catching up to you. And the 2017 season, he was 33. Now he's about to be 38. When he last played all 82 games, he was 33 years old. Now he's about to be 38. There's no way. There's no way. Right? Father time is undefeated. And LeBron's time is coming.
Let me ask you this here. You mentioned the Phoenix Suns as a playoff team. How are they going to be a playoff team if they let Aiden go? And what's the knock on Aiden? I ain't understanding. You know, I mean, I thought the kid could play. I mean, I thought the kid has made improvements year to year. He seemed to be pretty solid to me. So, I mean, what is the knock on this guy, man?
My personal opinion is attitude. You know, they're not saying it, but in my opinion, it's attitude. In some kind of way, he is been deemed not coachable by that staff, and that's what it is. I can't, you know, because, you know, he's getting $12 million a year. You know, he's getting $12 million a year, you know, and when you're getting that kind of money, there's expectations, and if you don't want to work hard, you know, it's going to come back and bite you, right? I mean, and, you know, you can't blame, you can't, you know, a lot of people like to play the race card, or maybe it's because the Monty Williams is the coach. Monty Williams.
But they also said Monty Williams is hard to play for. They said Monty Williams sometimes don't know how to talk to people.
Of course he does. You know why? I think about Monty Williams' background. He started out with the Knicks. He was a player. He was riding the bench. So he played under Pat Riley. Right, he was with Charlotte as a player, coaching staff. Wasn't he under George Popovich at one time? Like this guy is an old school coach, and so he wants and demands the best out of his players. And you know, Ayton is probably not used to working hard, right? He's not used to getting out there working hard. And he's saying, look, man, you're a big man, but get down in that paint and let's go. Let's rebound that ball, right? You know, like I said, Monty Williams, I mean, you know, he was on that 94 Knicks team that went to the finals, right? He was on that team, right? So,
and they also say that Chris Paul is hard to play with. He's the man. He's the man in little.
Right, right. So you got a winning coach and a winning point guard. And remember, at this point in Chris Paul's career, he needs a ring, right? Like he's killing it to get a ring. So he's going to want to run them practices. He's going to want to run them sprints. He's going to want, you know, Ayton down there boxing out and all that and setting the good picks and all of that. And if he's down there playing, you know, it's not going to happen, right?
Is it time for him to start coming off the bench? Considering load management, because his body breaks down at some point during every season, is it possible for him to just sit up off the bench and let Devin Booker just be the starter? He just come in a relief role, running the second unit, something like that, just to get him at least to the playoffs.
If you ask me, I see them doing Chris Paul like they did John Stockton years ago. Remember when they had John Stockton and then they had Howard Osley was his backup. So Stockton would start the game. He would play the first half of the first quarter, and then Howard Osley would come off the bench and run the offense. And then, you know, Stockton would come back for a little bit in the second quarter, and then Howard Osley would finish out the half. And then, you know, same thing in the second half. Stockton would start the third quarter. Same thing, play about half the minute, and then he would come in at the last end of the game in the fourth quarter. And so I see them doing that with Chris Paul. But, you know, you think about Monty Williams, man. That dude, again, you know, he was assistant coach with the Blazers. Assistant coach. Well, he was a coach with the Hornets, the Pelicans. He was a coach with the Thunder, right? Like this guy, you know, coach with Philly under what's his name? Doc Rivers, right? This guy's old school coach, right? So he's gonna demand a lot out of his players, right? And so DeAndre Ayton's probably not you know, meeting those expectations, and they don't want to say it because they don't want to embarrass him.
real quick before I get you up out of here, man, we got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up, Home Run Derby coming up on Monday. And what do you think about the Toronto Blue Jays firing a coach right before the All-Star break? I mean, isn't that kind of stupid? And they were actually a winning team.
Well, I understand why they did it. You know, Toronto had been on a losing streak. You know, they've lost, they've only won 3 out of their last 10 games. You know, that's pretty hard to want to keep a coach. And then their bullpen is horrible. Like, I watched them play against the Orioles one series, man, and Toronto, the starters, they were beating the Orioles in that game, right? When it got to like the 6th, 7th inning, and they pulled the starters and the bullpen pitchers came in there, man, the Orioles started rocking their butt, right? Like, I mean, they was rocking them dudes, right? Because Toronto's bullpen is horrible, right? And so if you can't hold a lead in the game, you're just not going to win. And, you know, Toronto, I mean, they're over 500. You're right. But again, they've lost 3 out of their, they only won 3 out of their last 10 games. So they're on a losing streak. Again, their bullpen is horrible. And you know, I think the realization is they're not going to win the American League East. I think it is fair to argue that the Yankees is going to win the division. In a landslide. I mean, the Yankees have 62 wins, and we're not even at the All-Star break.
What if they weren't in that division? If they weren't in that division, would they have a better chance somewhere else with that record?
Absolutely. If Toronto was in the American League West, then you could argue, or even the Central. You could argue then it was stupid, right? Because in the Central, they would only be a couple of games back of the Twins, right? So in that case, if they were in a totally different division, then you could make the argument, why'd you fire a guy when you're competing for the divisional title? They're in the American League East with
and
a horrible bullpen and everybody's tough. Right now in the American League East, there's not one team below 500. The Orioles are in last place in the American League East, and they are not only above 500, but them and Seattle have both won 10 games straight. So they're killing it in the league right now. They won 10 games straight, and they're still in last place, right? Games straight, and they're still in last place, and they're 17 games behind the Yankees, even though they won 10 straight. Right. The Yankees is killing it, right? I'm not even a Yankees fan, but they're killing it, right? So Toronto had absolutely no chance to win a division, and, you know, they were projected to be a possible World Series contender. I mean, I saw some probabilities of 12%, 10% chances of going to the World Series. Not with that bullpen, though. So they need to make some moves.
Who y'all send it to the All-Star game in Baltimore?
Well, that's the frustration. We don't have any All-Stars, and I was disappointed because I thought our relief pitcher, our closer, Lopez, I thought that he should have gotten there. I thought he was outstanding, and as a closer, and he didn't get in, and I was pretty disappointed. He did. I'm sorry. He did. He got in as a reserve selection, and so that was the only guy that I was excited about that I thought should have got in. So he did get in, and he got voted in by the manager. And so I really appreciated that because he had an incredible season for us. He's closing a lot of games, and he's the reason why we are having this 10-game winning streak.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that every team had to be represented. I mean, that only makes sense to me. I mean, how is every team not represented in MLB All-Star weekend?
You're right. It's supposed to be by design. It was supposed to have at least one guy from each team. And they try to stick to that. And then, of course, you notice that when it's a home team, like if the home team is hosting and a city, they try to get at least one, if not two players from that home team in the All-Star game. So, yeah, but yeah, Lopez did get in. He did get voted in. I stand corrected. He did get voted in. It just slipped my mind that he did get voted in at the end. But he got picked by the manager to get in because this guy's been closing a lot of games and doing very, very well, with getting saves.
But correct me again here. So you tell me right now, it's some teams that have no representation in the All-Star game. Some
yeah.
Teams didn't put, wow, that's great. Have they tried to change that rule?
They have, but, it's been one of those gentleman handshake rules. Of course, they just want to get the best players, but the whole purpose of that was not to have a team full of Yankees or a team full of Red Sox for the American League, and then
well,
a team
course,
full
of sense. Yeah.
Dodgers and Giants on the West Coast. So, but yeah, I'm sorry.
Now in the NFL, they do it. They do have representation, all-star for every team. Am I correct? The NFL does it a little bit different. They stick to the one to two man format per team.
No, the NFL absolutely has no rule on who makes it to the Pro Bowl. They have no rule. That's why you'll see teams that have eight players make the Pro Bowl,
right,
and then teams with no one. But what I have noticed is if a guy can't play due to injury, then they try to pick a guy from a team that was a good player but didn't get picked up, to be an injury replacement.
Man, okay. That might make some sense the way both of these leagues are doing it, because when you sit back down at the negotiating table, that's a GM's leverage. When you didn't get an All-Star selection, you didn't get a Pro Bowl selection since you've been here. So why do I need to pay you all this money, I guess?
Yeah, and, I'll be honest. I think a lot of teams should a lot of players should negotiate that in their contracts too. Right. So that way that, they have some incentive, and that way also the other teams, the management and the owners, because I know if I was a player and I had that in my contract and then maybe the manager wasn't playing me, I would say, well, wait a minute, you're kind of going against my contract, right? Like, I have a deal where if I, I get an extra $1 million if I make the All-Star team or the Pro Bowl, and you're not playing.
Yeah, that's incentive based.
So.
Yeah, they want to pay some money. This GM, all they got to do is call down there and say, hey, take him out. He too hot today. Take him out. Put somebody else in for a minute. Yeah, it's a dirty game behind the scenes when these guys trying to save money. But, yeah, man, that's crazy. Well, look, man, I wanted to talk about my baseball. I wanted to bring up something that a lot of people don't know. When the San Diego City hosted the All-Star game 3 years back, I think like 2014, somewhere in there, right? Pleasure of, as I was working for a company called CSC doing security. And they asked me that I want to go work at the convention center because they was doing a lot of stuff downtown for the All-Star game, and they was going to have a fan meet and greet at the convention center, right, in San Diego. So I was working in there. So I'm working in this convention center, and I'm looking around in what they would be doing, all the festivities. Man, I'm in there with all the merchandise they were selling. I mean, They had the dummies dressed up in all the uniforms on every division. I'm looking at this, man. It was awesome. I'm looking at, I even saw the Negro Hall of Fame display. And I went there and I was able to, in private, sit there and listen to all the stories that they had going on, the monitors and everything, and see all the plaques of all the black players, Satchel Paige and all. I mean, dude, when I tell you, it was amazing the way they had that whole thing set up. And then when they invited all the fans in the next day to get the merch and everything, it was packed, man. It was crazy. It was crazy. So, I mean, I just wanted to share that, you know, even though I was a security guard for a lot of years, man, that role always got me in a position to be in the back. And when I mean like in the back, you're behind the scenes, seeing all this stuff, running into all this stuff, man. Even when I was working, I even worked the NFL game, NFL Thursday Night Football. I worked it before I was behind the scenes as a student doing setup. You know, I was on the breakdown setup crew. They needed somebody to come in and work the game clock, because San Diego Chargers at the time, their game clock wasn't synced to the computer booth. So I had to go into the booth where they do instant replay and everything. I'm in there with all these guys where they do an instant replay and all this stuff. And all I had to do was punch the key to put the game clock up on the TV screen. Not the game clock, but the play clock. I was putting in the play clock on the TV screen and taking it out, putting it in, taking it out. All right. So there's a lot of guys there, up-and-coming people that want to work in sports. It's a lot of ways to break in, whether you're a student, whether you're doing security, just figure out a way to get in the back, and that might be a whole nother career. But
I agree. I think your stories are great. You know, one of the things about the All-Star game coming up, you know, baseball is proud of the sport, and they want to honor everybody who's participated in the sport. And so I think it's great that they do that at all the sites, you know, to grab the casual fan. You know, and one of the things they're thinking about from a marketing perspective is wives, right? Wives and moms, right? If, you know, a single mom, you know, who has a son that likes baseball and she doesn't really care for it, but she takes her son and then she goes and sees these exhibits and sees the history, and then she, you know, she might be wooed into becoming a fan now, right? And so that's what they do. I noticed the NFL does it too. They, you know, they don't just do the breast cancer thing in October, but they also have, you know, little camps for women where they come in and they break down the game and explain it to them. And, of course, if you have that buy-in, then it just, you know, brings in more revenue, right? So these organizations recognize they're going to find a way to get the dollar, you know, which is great.
Before you get off it, man, I want you to plug your company, because, see, I was talking about my broke mentality. And a lot of these undrafted free agents, they'll tell me, well, I ain't working right now. I ain't got no job right now. I also had a guy mention to me recently say that he was leaving the job to go back and train full time. And I'm like, okay, but how is that going to help you when I call you and say, I need you to hop a flight to go to this workout? I got somebody waiting on you. How is that going to help you by not having an income? So in a case like a person that wants to train all the time, and a lot of these guys, that's what they do, but they need money. How can your company help a young man, young able-bodied young man, that just needs to have a career that's going to allow the freedom, not to clock in, but to basically be able to just say, I'm going to learn the tricks of the trade from a mentor like yourself, run my own business, and learn how to make $1,000 a week doing what you do. Talk about that for a minute before we get you off here.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that. Well, I work for a company called World Financial Group. I'm an independent contractor with them. And World Financial Group is a financial services company. And what we do is we offer people opportunity to learn about how to grow a business, start a business, learn about financial independence, and then make money helping other people. In our company, in order for you to make money, you have to have, at a minimum, a life insurance license. So you have to be licensed in your state to sell life insurance, annuities, health insurance. So we help folks in that way. You can get into securities if you want. So if you want to do stock funds or mutual funds, you can do that through our company as well. We help you get trained. We help you get licensed. And yes, we average, most people average about $1,000 every time they help a family. So if you help four families a month, then on average, you'd see about $4,000 a month. And you set your own hours. And there are offices all over the U.S., Puerto Rico, and Canada. Also, because of the COVID, we're now online. A lot of agents now do virtual business. So I help families with their finances via Zoom. So a lot of times, I'm not even driving to see people in person anymore. I'm licensed in 10 states, and I have clients in all 10 states. So, for example, I have clients in Tennessee. I'm in Maryland. So I'm helping families with their finances. I'm talking to a family right now in Texas. Again, because I'm licensed in Texas. So we help people all over. So with a young athlete that is looking for income, also opportunity to start a business and be an entrepreneur with a system. Our company has a system, a guaranteed turnkey system. It's only $125 to start, which covers your background check and a website. And we help you get training. So you can run your own business, make your money, and set your own hours. And so you still could, yes, work on your athletic career, because you could go work out and then come home and do an appointment or sit down and help a client and, you know, and then go travel to work out. And if you meet clients there, then that whole trip could be a business write-off. So it does have its advantages. It's a great company. I've been with them 11 years. And I've learned so much about being an entrepreneur with this company. I've helped a lot of families, and I've made some great money.
Well, let me throw this here in there, because I had an experience not too long ago. I was approached by a company with this Aflac. I was approached by Aflac, right? And Aflac, they had been hitting me up over the years. And one day I just said, let me see what the heck they talking about. Because I had heard an Aflac seminar when I was in Texas. And I also talked to some of the representatives at a job I had out here in San Diego, and they were doing a big seminar for all the nurses, for all the hospital staff that wanted to be a part of Aflac. And they were there for like 3 days doing a big seminar, signing people up. So getting emails from Aflac, and I said, I don't even know how they got my email, but they constantly hit me up at least every couple months over the past couple years. And I just said, I'm going to call them. I'm going to just see. I think I had just finished up my private investigator studies, and I just said, you know what, since I'm an investigator, they also have insurance investigators. So I said, let me see what they're talking about and see how I could tie the two in, right? So now, the lady, she was telling me, well, you can come aboard that this another, it was going to cost, I forgot, it was a nice amount of money. It wasn't, I ain't gonna say it was unaffordable, but it was a nice chunk of change. I think that they wanted like $600 to come in and start. I ain't saying that's unaffordable, but you know, she wanted like $600 to come in, but also had to go and take the state exam in California for to become an insurance broker, and it was fees with all that stuff. So you think, since you've been doing this, has that been a deterrent for a lot of agents that come to you and they don't have their license already? Then they got to go get the state license, pay for that, take the test. Then they got to come to you already ready. Then, you know, your fee ain't but $125. But I mean, you know, still people like, man, I already paid all this money coming into the business. And then now I got to pay you something else. What do you think about that type of broke mentality when people just want to pay that? Unfortunately, you might have to pay people a couple different times to reach your goal. So well, go ahead, speak to
So it's funny you mention that. So first off, there's a trend now that a lot of Aflac agents are coming into our company, and they're not necessarily leaving Aflac, but they recognize that Aflac is only covering a very niche amount of insurance, right? There's a ton of life insurance and there's a ton of insurance out there, but Aflac only covers a small amount. Whereas our company covers a lot more of different types of insurance. So if you compare prices, it's like, why would I pay six times as much to go to a company that only reaches a smaller amount of people when I could pay six times less and reach a vast amount of people? And then we help you with your training so that you can get your state license. We take pride in that, actually. And then we obviously help you with learning the ropes of the business so that you can do it yourself. It is the goal of every agent in our company who trains a new agent to duplicate ourselves in him or her. So it is our goal to get you up to speed on how to do all the things so you can be up and running with your own business, right? And so, funny you mentioned Aflac, because a lot of those agents are coming over to World Financial Group and partnering up with us.
Now, when you talk to someone, and I like to use my undrafted free agent athlete test model, because most of them have a broke mentality, and I'm trying to get them out of it. I'm using what you do to help me aid them. Now, you come to a young kid, like I just gave you an example, you need the money, and you just told them all of that stuff. This is how you get started. Then they say, well, would it be easier for me to just get a job? You know, like if I go to Walmart, Burger King, or someone like that, I know it's a guarantee I'm going to get a check. I try to tell guys that entrepreneurship is a great thing because you're not on the clock. So if you're an athlete trying to train, you got to go here, got to go there, or if you got to be traveling all over the place, this type of business that you got gives you the opportunity to operate anywhere. It gives you opportunity to operate anywhere. Plus, with the Zoom calls and all kind of stuff, you can do your business right from where you at every day and work out, train in between. But some people can't get past, well, a brick and mortar job. I know that when I I'm supposed to get a guaranteed check. However, I've been on the job and didn't get paid. I've been on the job and didn't get paid for a month. Okay, so I don't like to use the word it's a guaranteed check. What do you say to that?
Well, I totally agree. You know, the one thing about entrepreneurship is it teaches you how to be resourceful and find ways to make money and grow yourself. Whereas when you do, when you're just an employee, your job is, you know, they say job stands for just over broke, right? Because that's how a company keeps you as an employee, just over broke, right? And so when you have a job, that's all you own. You own that job. And, you know, it's funny when you say someone owns a job, you own a job where it's at will employment. So even if a company doesn't want you, they can let you go right then and there. And so you really don't own anything if you think about it. And so when you're an employee, yeah, there might be a consistent paycheck. It might be. But it may not be enough to do anything with, because again, jobs are designed to keep you just over broke. And then on top of that, you're not going to be able to reach your goals in the NFL, because jobs will call you and say, we need you to come in. And you'll say, wait a minute, this was my off day. And they'll say, yeah, but we need you to come in. And so if you don't come in, they can let you go. And now you don't have any more source of income. Whereas in my company, for example, as an entrepreneur, you may get $6,000 helping one family. You know, it depends on what financial services they need. And we get paid multiple times. In our company, we get paid every Tuesday and Friday. So you get paid eight times a month. And it's not just one-time check for one-time service either. I'm still getting paid for families I helped in 2011, right? So you, so there's residual income. You know, we have multiple income streams in our financial group. It's not just one-time check for one-time service. And so there's a lot of ways to make money and partner up with people and really make a difference. So if a person's dream is to truly play for the Shield on Sundays, then they have to do that. And everything else has to be in support of that. You know, how many of those rich actors and actresses talk about when they were waiting tables while they were trying to get their career going, right? Like,
right.
You know, you're not going to be a six-figure employee in the boardroom and still be working towards your NFL dreams. Like, that's just not realistic.
In reality, right.
You know, and so if someone truly wants to make the NFL, then a company, for example, like mine is great because we teach you financial independence. We teach you how money works. So if you don't even know how money works, you can come in our company and get educated so that way when you do get to the NFL and you are making those huge dollars that a lot of people are looking for, you'll know how to manage it because that's what we do in our company, right? We teach people how to move their money so it can grow for them and what's smart to buy and invest in and what's not, right? We do these things, right? How to save, right? We do these things in my company. So,
real quick before you get up out of here, because I'm running out of time, I want to make sure I get you out of here the right way. DC, go ahead on and tell everybody how they can find you on social media, on the web. Tell everybody how when they hear this episode, if they're interested in what you're doing, want to work with you, partner with you, how can they find you? Where are you?
All right. Well, yes, I am on Twitter. I am on Twitter at, let me see, I'm trying to think of what my Twitter handle is because I tweet, but I don't tweet myself. I'm on Twitter as DCWFG, DC357WFG. So I'm on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram under the same thing, DCWFG. And then I am on Facebook as well. But they could always just reach you. They could call into your show, or they could inbox you or text you, and then you can always forward them to me, you know, and I can sit down with them one-on-one. I'm willing to help anyone. Of course, it'd be on Zoom, but I help anyone that needs it because I definitely enjoy what I do.
All right, man. We thank you for having you on the show today. Thanks for coming through and being a contributor to vast knowledge of Major League Baseball, basketball, and football. Thank you for coming on. And we're going to get up out of here. Again, we want to thank DC for being a part of the show today. Hopefully you tune in sometime next week. For those of you just tuning in, this is Stogies and Beer broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBES. And Stogies and Beer is the official podcast for the pro armchair quarterback. The armchair quarterback can call in and talk about anything you want to do sports related, bass fishing, camel racing, dog racing, mud wrestling. But this is a football talk show, so we talk a lot about football, but we also talk about Major League Baseball, basketball as well. So, again, this is Stogies and Beer. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, here with you live in the early morning. And we broadcast most Mondays through Fridays, Monday through Fridays at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And when I say most Mondays through Friday and most times at 8 to 10 is because we have Blog Talk Radio. You have to schedule that time. You got to schedule your time in and everything like that. So we have to basically schedule these shows. But even if you can't catch the show, you can always go back and log in to Blog Talk Radio. There's Stogies and Beer on Blog Talk / Ramiro Ferran. and listen to the episodes. If you like anything that we talked about today on our topic called Overcoming the Broke Mentality as an Undrafted Free Agent, then DM me on @FerranSports, all one word, @FerranSports on Twitter. The first letter in Ferran and the first letter is capitalized, @FerranSports on Twitter. DM me any questions you may have. If I don't have the answer to your question, I'd be more than happy to answer it for you. And if I don't have the answer, I'll get the answer. If I have the answer, I'll answer it right away. But definitely call in with all your questions about this episode. And this show is set up to help undrafted free agents that's been, you know, in no more than 2 years removed from college, that's still looking for an NFL opportunity or trying to take the steps to get as close to the NFL as they can. This show is set up to help up-and-coming hip-hop producers, R&B producers, hip-hop artists, R&B artists that got good music that they want to feature on the show, whether you got beats you want to get featured, whether you got clean radio-edited music that you want to feature, come on for an interview, just like the app, you can come on for a 30-minute interview. Artists and producers can come on for a 30-minute interview. And at the same time, anybody that got any type of business that they may want to promote, that could help a lot of these undrafted free agents and artists that need to make money for their projects or their career or their athletic careers, you can come on and show how you talk about your business to where they can partner up and join with you, just like my man DC just did. He tagged this show and everything, tagged his company and everything like that, so people can partner with them that want to learn how to make real money, not money from a job where you got to clock in and wait 2 weeks to get a check. He got, you know, him and people like him that do e-commerce business, network marketing businesses can come in and help you make some real money. Because the serious network marketing agents, they like making money. And if they like making money, they want to help you make money, because the more money you make, the more money they can possibly make. So this show is set up, you know, to educate, to help people put money in their pocket, all kind of stuff we do here to help promote your projects and everything like that. But this has been Stogies and Beer, broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, on WBEST, WBEST. We'll be back on Monday morning, hopefully at 8 o'clock. We should be able to get that time. Monday at 8 o'clock Pacific to 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific. And we want everybody to have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay COVID safe. Keep your mask on. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. Get your boosters. Do all that good stuff. And we're going to ride out to Tech, DJ Keith Running. We're going to let that ride out, and then we're going to set Black and Fade off. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. ESPN Stogies and Beer, broadcasting live, WBEST, Chula Vista, California. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it live early morning. Catch Stogies and Beer Mondays through Thursdays at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Catch Stogies and Beers again, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Set black. Fade off.